This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3266 for Monday the 8th of February 2021. Today's show is entitled, Upgrading Debian on My Raspberry Pi. It is hosted by Mr. X, and is about 33 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, in this episode I cover the process of upgrading Debian from Jesse 8 to Stretch 9 on my Raspberry Pi.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X, and welcome to this podcast. As usual, I'd like to start by thanking the people at HPR for making these services available to us all. HPR is a community-led podcast provided by the community for the community. That means you can contribute to why you pick up a microphone, your mobile phone, a computer if you have one, a tablet, hit the record button and send in a show. They've gone to a great deal of effort to make it very easy and streamlined, so you've nothing to lose. And you might even enjoy it. If I can do it, you can. So it's been a wee whiley since I've sent in a show, recorded anything. I've been really busy. And just for reference, I'm recording this on 19th of December. I'm sure like an awful lot of us, since all the madness started, I really am finding it difficult to find the time to pull anything together. Just getting holidays organised and stuff, well, you know, in these conditions, what do you do when you're on holiday? It's, so like a lot of my colleagues have been holding back and end up with far too many holidays at the end of the year sort of things, so... Because of that, I've got some time off now, so I've got a little bit of time to catch up. And so I thought it would be an ideal opportunity to record an episode. So, I mean, going forward, I think for a while now, I think it's going to be a bit difficult for me to send in shows, but I'll see what I can do. You never know. I'm not going away or anything like that. So it's funny, I'm kind of working from home at the moment these days. And I've been kind of off all week, in fact, and it's almost felt like I've been continued to work all week because I'm still in the same flaming room looking at the same flaming screen. Well, it's not quite the same screen, it's my own screen because I've got a company screen as well, but it's in the same desk, same position, so it almost felt like I was working, so kind of takes a wee bit of the joy out of things, you know, working away. Not doing the podcast, this is quite enjoyable, yabbing a load of old rubbish into a microphone, it's very easy, this bit. But I'm sure people around the world are finding it very difficult just now, so times as they are. Some of you all know what the reference that is too, but anyway, yeah, so I thought I've been kind of putting this off for ages. I think I mentioned to Dave that Dave Morris that all my computers are slowly going out of date, and you know the distros are going out of date and whatnot, and I was just dreading upgrading anything, you know. So I created a wee spreadsheet and I was doing a wee bit audit what computers have I got, and what distros have they got on, blah de blah de blah. And one of the ones that was due an upgrade was a couple of Raspberry Pis. Now, I think the last time I've got two of my Pis. One's the one, I've got two Pis that have a Pi Face add-on board on them, and they're different boards. They're both old Pis, and the one downstairs has got a screen, you know, an LCD display and buttons and whatnot. I covered all that before. And the last time I upgraded it, I had a heck of a job getting it working again. And because it's, I almost now see it as you plug it in, it does its job, you unplug it, and that's it. It does nothing else. It's one purpose. It's almost like a piece of consumable tech. I see it like that now. I don't even think of it as a Pi. So I thought, that's it. No, I'm not touching that one. Nope, no way. So it's just too much hassle. But my other Pi, which replaces a, it was kind of used as a home server, it's I thought it might be a bit more easy to upgrade. It's got a Pi Face I/O board on it, which is like a, again, I covered that one. It's got some LEDs and some push buttons and whatnot. And I mean, a lot of the a lot of, I think I put an add-on, I put an add-on PCB onto it that extends it, so I've got more buttons that I can push. And you know, 90 odd percent of them are just rubbish, just for fun, you know. Shows you how much space is on the Pi, what the uptime is and stuff like that. But two of the buttons I use to start and stop mock music on the command line, and that way I listen to my podcasts and audiobooks, and it's darn handy. Because when I'm upstairs anyway, because otherwise what I have to do is I have to turn on a laptop or a computer, waiting it booting up, SSH into the Pi, hit the space bar, and it's just, you know, it's just a nuisance. So it would have been really, really handy if that continued to work. And you know, so basically I sort of started documenting what happened during the upgrade and how I went about it and whatnot. And I thought, well, it would be quite good to cover that. So basically the first thing I did was I first of all moved all unnecessary files from the Pi. I hope you don't all find this too boring. Here we go. I moved all the files from my Pi onto I think I can't remember what it was, a hard drive or something like that. It was a spare removable hard drive, or I can't remember. I moved it somewhere anyway. And then what I did is I used Gparted and I shrunk down the partition. Now it's 128 gigabyte SD card, and I shrunk it down to just over 25 gigabytes, 25106 megabytes, in fact. And 25106 megabytes, or 24.52 gigabytes, 25708544 kilobytes, 26325549056 bytes. Fascinated to hear that. So I kind of calculated that worked out at, and I'll explain why I'm covering, why I'm being so meticulous about the byte size, the sizes and whatnot. That worked out at 51 one, two, three, four, five, six, 51,417,000 5141708 blocks, basically, of 512 bytes, because I was going to use DD to DD the image, you see. And the reason for all of this was I was wanting to back up the Pi, because I thought, well, if it goes wrong, I want to be able to bring it back, because I just thought, you know, it's just so much hassle. I'll just live with it, with the old distro on it, and that'll be it. So as I said, I shrunk it down to 25 gigs, and then I used the DD command to grab the first, you know, the bit that was used plus a little bit more. So I kind of calculated that, rather than I filled up 51,417,000 088 blocks, so I picked 55,417,088 blocks just to get a wee bit of the empty space after it. So it was sudo, the command was sudo dd input if equals the output file equals output file. Maybe I wasn't going to cover the full command, but maybe I can. So the full command was sudo dd sudo space dd space if, that's input command, equals slash dev slash sdb. That happens to be where my SD card was. And then space of, which is output file, equals slash home slash Mr. X, because that's my home partition, of course, home drive, slash py13 dash img dash backup dot img. That's just the name of the image file you want to create. Space bs equals 512. And that doesn't mean that bs is block size. Block size equals 512 bytes. Space count equals, and then I just did 5541708888, and that grabbed that amount of the disk. Of course, it took ages. I've been at this for days. I had two machines to upgrade, so it took me ages. I put it off so much. So anyway, that was that. And then I used the following command to write that image file back to an SD card. It was just sudo dd input file as the image file, output file is SDB, of course, block size 512, and I put status equals progress so I could see what was going on as it was writing it to the SD card. Then once that was done, I opened up gparted and then I plugged in the SD card, and I did it in that order because I think if you load up gparted, it does not mount the disk. It checks and stops the devices from mounting. So I did that, plugged the SD card in, and then I expanded that partition all the way out to fill the SD card. And in this case, it was actually a 64 gigabyte SD card, my second card. That actually contained an older version of the Pi, because what I kind of tended to do is I buy a new SD card, back it up and copy it onto the bigger one, and that way I could just get a bigger card each time. But once you got to 120, I thought, well, it's big enough. So, and then I booted from the 64 gigabyte card just to make sure that it all booted up and it all worked okay and nothing went wrong. It was fine. So that was good. So I removed the 64 gigabyte card so I can go back to it if anything goes wrong. And then I booted into the 128 gigabyte card, which, remember, was shrunk down to 25 gigabytes or thereabouts. So I expanded it back out to fill the whole 128 gigabytes of the SD card. This all takes ages, of course. And I used the SD card, that 128 gigabyte card, to perform the upgrade. So the upgrade process. So I think, generally speaking, I think Debian's quite it's a solid distribution. And I know that I've had problems in the past upgrading Ubuntu, and I've heard other people having issues with that sometimes. It's going to cross your fingers and hope for the best. But anyway, I found somebody's explanation about how to upgrade from Jesse to Stretch, because that's what was on the Pi. I think it was probably the minimal install. It doesn't have a GUI. It's just a basic Debian distro that's this on it, I think, from what I recall. I'll put a link to the page that I used with the commands, but I'll also include them in my show notes as well. The heading at the top says "Everyday Life of a Penguin Whisperer," so very good. I think it's actually a German site, you can pick either German or British sort of thing, or German or English, I should say. But there you go. Anyway, so what they recommend is, well, first of all, you want to make sure you've got plenty of space. So you do df space dash h, and you check you've got plenty of space. Obviously, I did have plenty of space. And then recommend checking package status. So you do that by doing sudo space dpkg space dash dash audit, and then sudo space dpkg space dash dash get selections, then pipe that to grep, looking for the word hold, and it'll list if you've got any problems with your packages. And of course I was fine, so that was okay. So the next step is that before upgrading, you should update your Raspbian or Debian completely, just so it's at the very latest standard before you go ahead and upgrade. So that was just sudo space apt dash get space update, then sudo space apt dash get space upgrade, and finally sudo space apt dash get dist upgrade, and that will update your Pi to the very latest version of, well, in my case it was Jesse, which is I think Debian 8 basically. So the Raspbian version, you need to modify your package lists so that they point to Stretch and not Jesse. And the way that they do it, they use in this website, they use the sed command to insert the appropriate lines in etc apt sources.list and etc apt sources.list.d. And I sort of checked the locations it was going to and made sure that these were correct in existence and whatnot, and that went fine. And then you obviously got to update your package list, so it's just sudo apt dash get update. And then finally, to update to Stretch, you just do sudo space apt dash get upgrade, and then sudo space apt dash get dist dashed upgrade. And obviously that takes flaming ages, as everything seemed to do. And then at the end of all that, clean up the installation by to remove any unnecessary packages and whatnot. So you just do sudo space apt dash get auto remove and sudo space apt dash get auto clean, and that worked fine. So during the upgrade, there was a number of things reported, and of course, what I should have said at the beginning of this, of course, is there's I'm sure it was it Ches Griffin? Funny how things pop into your head. Ches Griffin did a thing about how you can log a series of commands and outputs. It's almost like an auditing trail sort of thing. And I think, is it not using the command scripts, scripts or something like that? And I should have ran that, and it writes it to a file, and you can then go back and review what's happened. I didn't do that, so I just jotted some notes down as it was going along. So there was comments about the LSB release. You run the LSB release command, for example, to see what version of OS you're running. What release of Debian you're running or whatever, and I found, of course, that when I tried to just check that it upgraded, that it said could not use this. What did it say? It said something about modules not found or something like that. But you can also do it by catting. Yeah, you can get it by catting, doing cat space etc forward slash etc slash OS dash release. Yeah, sometimes old ways are the best ways. So that gives you a good clear indication of what you're running, what version of the distro you're running. It's probably a good foolproof way of doing it. Cat space slash etsy slash os dash release. So that's a good tip. So it mentioned my bash rc was different. I just kept that as it was. There was a lot of changes to ssh actually. The release notes said there was something to do with hashes, SHA-1 weak, yes, apt hashes weak, yes, and all sort of stuff. The song about obviously they've been a lot more strict on the rules governing SSH. Something about the key length again, not having to be above a certain length. I've increased that length. And it looks like there's two locations for keys. There's authorized keys and authorized keys 2, authorized underscore keys and authorized underscore keys 2 stored in .ssh. So you could have had two alternative, you know, two places, and I think they're deprecating that. So there's a good number of changes happened to SSH. So once the thing booted up after the upgrade, I found that to mock my music, my beloved music on the command player, would not run. I found a post. I haven't actually written down what the actual error was, but I solved it by adding the line alsa stutter defeat equals no. That solved the problem. Well, I think actually, yeah, there was two errors. The first error was saying something about you might get a stuttering sort of thing, but it was still it wasn't actually stopping mock from loading, but it would continually give you this warning. And I think I put that into Google, and I found that you can, if you just add that in the config file from mock.mock in the .mock folder, alsa stutter defeat equals no, then that solves it. The other problem I noticed is it's obviously a newer version of mock, and it obviously goes through and does some checking on the configuration and key map files and whatnot, and there were some changes, and it obviously didn't recognize one of the options that was there at line 82. I think it was something like next search equals caret G caret N. So that wasn't allowed in this version of mock. Yeah, I thought just for the sake of it, I'd have a look to see what it is. And apparently, on this Debian, it's version 2.6-alpha 3. Gosh, build November 27th, 2016. You find out by using mock by issuing the command mock p space dash capital V, or is it version? Whatever it is, anyway, there you go. Dash V is for version, anyway. Capital V. So I must have had an earlier version than that running on the previous version of Debian. I thought there was some active work going on with MockP. I thought it would have been newer than that, actually. Anyway, there you go. So that changed. So, but that solved the problem. These were all kind of minor things. So really, I think I did one or two things. This everything seems to be working okay. I don't do a heck of a lot with the Pi. It's serves files and. And it's got Git iPlayer on it, and that seemed to work okay. Although I had to remove the repository, which was kind of broken anyway. So that might cause me, that'll no doubt give me problems further down the line. But the thing that was more important was the last thing which didn't work was was the PiFace Digital I/O board. As I explained at the beginning, it's a board that's got buttons you can push, and you can activate relays on the board. It turns LEDs off and on, and I kind of use it to kind of turn the Pi into a kind of MP3 player that you can pause and play. It basically toggles between play and pause. That's the two most, that's the most useful thing. Other things are just kind of fun things, but it's run from a Python file that I wrote called rather unimaginatively at the time. I called it test.py because I was just testing out the board at the time, and I never got around to changing it. So anyway, it reported multiple errors, and one of the things it reported, it said PiFace Digital Core, no PiFace Digital detected error, no PiFace Digital board detected, hardware address equals zero, bus equals zero, chip select equals zero. And I don't know quite what, I kind of went down the wrong path, and I changed the header at the top of the script to specifically point to Python 3, and that error went away. So I assumed, oh right, that's solved it. I just need to get the syntax errors and whatnot. So I spent ages fixing all the syntactical differences between Pi 2 and Pi 3, bringing it all up to date and everything, and then end up with the same error again. So that was a big waste of time. So I put that error into Google, and I found something written in a forum. There's a forum for everything, Raspberry Pi forum. It was at the raspberrypi.org forum, in fact it was in there. And according to the post, I don't begin to fully understand it, I was just kind of keen to get it working. According to the post, it's something to do with the fact that the SPI serial speed had changed from 500 kilohertz to 500 kilohertz to 125 megahertz. That's a heck of a difference. I did make sure, because I thought, when I first saw the error, I thought, oh yeah, the SPI, got to turn that on. That's like an interface, and that's how the board, the add-on board, communicates with the Raspberry Pi through the SPI interface. And you can use the Raspi config command to turn that off and on. So I did that, and it made no difference. There's a very, very clever chappy, or chappess, person, had actually solved it. And it was down to what you can do is if you modify the spi.py file, and I used the find command to find locations where that file is, using find space forward slash space dash iname, so ignore case, that's probably not that important, space spi.py, and it was in two locations. It was in /lib/python2.7/dist-packages/piface-common/spi.py. So it's in the 2.7 Python folder, and it also in userlib python 3 dist packages piface common spi.py, and also in Python 3, so in these two folders. So I created a copy of the original file, and I called it spi.py.back, just in case, because I thought, oh muck, I'll never get it back. So always a good idea, that. So I actually ended up having to do a very minor modification. So I only modified the spi.py folder in Python 2.7. I haven't actually done it for Python 3, which I probably should do. It entailed that at line 68, I added a comma to the end of line 68, because I was going to add a line to a block of code, and the last line on the block of code didn't have a comma. So I assumed that there was a comma required Now that I'm going to add in a line below that, so I added that comma because all other lines had commas in it. I didn't think too deeply about what I was doing, you understand. I added speed underscore hz, so it's obviously a variable, equals c type dash c underscore u int 32 open parenthesis 15000 close parenthesis. So it's obviously setting the variable speed underscore hz to a integer of 15000, and that solved the problem. After I did that and closed the file, ran my original script test.py, and that was it. So that was actually one of the last things I solved, because it wasn't, you know, I thought, well, it was taking so long to do all this, and I thought, well, I'll have a quick go at it, but if it takes too long, I'm going to stop because I haven't got enough time. I've got so much to get on with, so I'll do the other things that I know I've got a good chance of fixing. So I was very pleased that just recently, just an hour or so ago, I managed to solve that. So the other things I had SSH not working, and of course, as we said, they've been a bit more security conscious with SSH, obviously with the later version of distributed with Debian Stretch. So basically, my Raspberry Pi downstairs would not SSH into the Pi upstairs, so I couldn't remotely control mock from my wee remote box downstairs, because it wouldn't SSH into the Pi upstairs. And it turned out that was because my Pi downstairs, Pi face, the Pi downstairs with the Pi face CAD add-on board, well, it had DSA and RSA type keys, public and private keys in the .ssh folder. And when I looked at the logs, I looked at the log on my Pi upstairs, tail-f/var/logs/auth.log, and then I tried to log in from a Pi downstairs, unauth pub key type ssh-dss not in public key accepted key types. So there you go. So I inserted the RSA key into the, I copied the RSA key, public key, into the Pi 13 upstairs, and that solved the issue. And my triple EPC, it was the same. Well, in fact, it only had DSA keys. It didn't have RSA keys. So I had to generate a fresh RSA keys, and I added them to the Pi 13, and that solved that problem. And allowed me to SSH into the Pi from my triple EPC. So yes, I think, I don't know, maybe that was about a day and a half, something like that. And I upgraded a laptop, so which I might cover in another episode. But I really think that's more than enough, and I probably bored you all to tears. So I do apologise. But it is a show after all. Anyway, it does feel really good to be back online again and back with the HPR crowd. And I do hope I can post a few more shows, maybe something a bit simpler. But I thought it was a golden opportunity to cover this while it was fresh in my mind. If you want to contact me, you can contact me at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.